as it says in Corinthians, if they had known what they were doing, they would not have crucified him. If they knew that this is what Christ wanted, this is what the Father wanted, they would not have done it. That's why their eyes had to be blinded to the wisdom of God, so that God's word could be fulfilled. In them is fulfilled the scripture. Verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And in John, he recorded it, what he said. In the Gospel of John, it is recorded that he said, "It is finished," which was the last words of Psalm 22. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Think about that. That's very telling right there. The bodies which slept. Remember, sleeping, it doesn't mean that they literally slept. It means that that is the figurative way of speaking of dead, is that they sleep. Because to God, they're not truly dead. No, because when you're truly dead, you never get up again, and I'm not going to raise you again, and you're dead. But he calls it sleep because he's ready to raise the dead. So they are like they're asleep. And these saints who were dead were raised for a short time. Not to go to heaven, but to go around and make a testimony. They came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Obviously, that's over a period of time, meaning that's not necessarily at the same moment. Like, Jesus crucified, he dies, and then the graves open up, and all these dead people start coming out. And this isn't an attack of the zombies, either. They come in resurrection state, which is whole again. The veil of the temple being rent. The veil was what separated the most holy place from the rest of the temple. And it was only the place in which the high priest was allowed to enter. And we talked a lot about that in the book of Hebrews. But when Christ was crucified, he ripped it apart from the top to the bottom so that God could now be accessed by regular people. Because now we all have access to the high priest, Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. And we enter in his body is the veil that was rent. Because when he was broken, so was the barrier between us and God. That God would enter into our hearts and create in us a new heart through by the new covenant, whereby we would have a heart to obey him. And that it would not be according to letters and commandments and legalism, but rather to a change in our heart, in our desires, in our will. Not so much the will, because you can have the will to do right, but not do right. But it's the ability to actually do something different. To be different. Not be the same anymore. And some people mentioned that, you know, all the Romans didn't account of any strange happenings at this time. Well, you know, maybe they'd like to keep it quiet. Maybe they don't want to testify of this movement, the Christians. Remember, it was an oppressed minority for a long time. It took 400 years for it to turn from an oppressed minority to be thoroughly overrun by wolves and become the oppressive majority. So that's a long time. And the Romans did not have any desire, Pilate least of all, to make a bigger deal out of this than already was made. So we have, again, resurrection is a picture of people getting out of their graves. They sleep there. They're not in heaven. They're not in hell. In Gehenna hell, like the eternal hell, so to speak. They are in the hell of the grave, because there's two words, translate hell, there's actually three, but and actually more if you conclude the Old Testament, but some answer to others, Hades, Sheol, Gehenna, Tophet. Verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. They saw something marvelous in it. They actually saw something. And remember also, these soldiers, in the Passion of Christ, they portray them as Latins, but they were most likely soldiers from neighboring areas that were recruited into the Roman army, because they would not send people from Italy necessarily over all the way to Palestine, to Judea, to govern them. Maybe they would use Egyptian soldiers, or maybe they would use Syrians or Edomites. But they would be people recruited into the Roman army and under Roman discipline. And so they may even have had knowledge of the Old Testament, that they might see this. You never know. I mean, the Romans were very eclectic in the people they would use. Men of different races came to be part of their legions and so on and so forth. In fact, eventually the legions became so overwhelmed by mercenaries and so on and so forth that their loyalty to the state became very questionable. And many women, verse 55, were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children, being the mother of John and James, the one who had come to ask Jesus if her sons could sit on the right hand and the left. These are believing women. You know, they always slander Mary Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and saying she was a whore or this or that. There's nothing that says that in any of the Gospels, that Mary Magdalene was a slut or a whore or anything like that. It says, out of whom went seven devils. And they equate her with different women. It's according to traditions of the Roman Catholic Church. So it's not at all accurate to just throw those accusations around. Not that there's anything wrong with someone being a reformed harlot or something like that, but still, don't just throw those things around. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Also, the things like about how many days Jesus was in the tomb and what day was he crucified, you know, there are hints given here, the day of preparation and so on and so forth, that's coming up. But I don't really make a lot out of it because I don't really, it doesn't enter into the picture with me. That's not the gospel. The gospel isn't Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. It's not, the gospel was not Jesus was crucified on Thursday, Friday, whatever. All those things, you know, looking to days and months and moons and signs and genealogies, all that kind of carnality. God is not impressed. If I figure out Jesus was crucified on April 13th at 6 p.m. or whatever, you know, God is not impressed with my knowledge. Knowledge does not commend us to God. We cannot, you know, that kind of knowledge does not make God, oh, I'm impressed. I pick you. You're smart. I want you to be one of my elect. Would you please choose to believe in me? That's just not how it works. Verse 57. And when even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered, and with the rich in his death. That's Isaiah 53. He made his grave with the wicked. He was put to death with malefactors and thieves. And he made his grave with wealthy men, Joseph of Arimathea. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth